Anyway, we're all pirates here in Apollo Bay. I have this theory that we are united by one thing, and that is that we are all perimeter dwellers. Have you got some level there? Level. Costa's adjusting his own level. So the union will be in here. They'll be saying, no. You got some sound there? Good. So I'm joined in the studio, not that I am falling apart, by young Mr. Costa with the unpronounceable surname.
Georgiadis.
Georgiadis. Oh, that's not so tough. It just looks tougher than it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like a lot of stuff in life, isn't it, really?
It is.
And Liz Waters. Hi, Liz.
Morning, Bob.
And we're here to chat about, aeroplanes, isn't it?
Well, we could do that. We'd probably run out of conversation in about 3.5 minutes, but I reckon that we can fill up a bit more with some gardens and
some garden
food.
Stuff. So it's really all about the edible gardens trail and yep. stuff. However, it occurred to me on my way down, preparing for the program, as I do, that while this bush is recognisable, and I kind of have an awareness, I'm not a big television watcher, and so I wanted to know a bit about who is this fella and where did he come from and how did he get here? Without getting to 60 minutes about it or any of that sort of
you
stuff.
Need to crouch down and throw your sports jacket over the shoulder,
yeah,
Negus style.
Yeah.
I can see you doing that, leaning forward.
Yeah, sure, leaning forward and saying, is that really true? But you were born in Australia, you were born...
Yeah. So I'm originally born in Sydney,
mm-hmm.
and that's home.
Yep.
My family background is that all of my grandparents came out from Greece,
yep.
Predominantly straight after the war.
Mm.
And then my dad and that side of the family grew up out in Ningen in mm-hmm. Western New South yep. Wales. So they then came to Sydney, and I know... Probably the DNA for my interest in gardening was laid down in sedimentary layers in Ramwick at my grandfather's backyard.
What a wonderful spot to be.
And that was it. I think that even though I didn't know that I was going to get into gardening when I finished school, I sort of grew up around it and food.
Mm.
And this was an interesting thing. I was talking to a few people last night and... It is about food, and the children, when I was at the school garden yesterday and they prepared this amazing lunch, and it all pairs down to that food thing. And my grandmother always used to say she wasn't interested in where you were going.
Mm.
She was interested in what are you going to eat.
I really like that.
And I think that says it all,
you
know. And then it wasn't until first... 6 months, halfway through my first year of arts at uni, because I didn't know what I wanted to do. A friend of mine came up to me on the library lawn at lunchtime and said, I'm thinking of transferring to this landscape architecture course.
Mm.
And I looked at it and I read all the details and I thought, wow. And I went down and I spoke to the professor and they said, get good marks, come back and see me at the end of the year.
Mm.
And I got a credit distinction average and I transferred to a course which was way out of my league.
Mm.
And you know when you talk about turning points and you just go, I took that highway exit and I never went back on again. And, and that's sort of how it happened. And the media, I suppose the media bit, and it's always interesting because people ask me, oh, how'd you get into it?
Mm.
And it was actually a telephone call from a friend whose brother-in-law was working in a production company. And they said, oh, we're just looking for someone to be the host of a gardening / lifestyle show. Mm. Do you know anyone? And they said, yeah. And they rang me and said, well, I'll give them your number. I said, yeah, we'll give it a crack. And then that's where Costa's Garden Odyssey began on SBS. And then I changed over to ABC when SBS couldn't support it.
And obviously a lot of the understandings of the world that you have now came out of moving rocks around and finding out what grows and what doesn't.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, landscape architecture is, you know, the big picture approach in terms of ecology, botany, horticulture, landscape design, landscape planning, geology, geography, engineering.
Mm.
So it gave me a really broad, I suppose it's a broad church approach.
Yeah.
And then the more I go down the road that I'm on at the moment, the more directly into horticulture that I go. So I meet incredible horticulturists, but at the same time, I'm fortunate enough to meet like just crazy, mad, passionate gardeners and growers. And through them, you just realize that at the end of the day, it's the ticker. What wakes me up every day is that I never know who I'm going to meet. I don't care what they've got in front of their name, what they've got after their name. It doesn't, you know, it can help paint a picture, but it's not, for me, it's the mongrel. It's that I'm so into it that it's got to be sort of almost like this spray that's just pouring out, and I want a bit of that so that I can go and say, well, cop some of that and splash it around, and then it's always this kind of like, this person's doing that, this person's doing that, and it's a way of getting that smear to stick on people that you might think, oh, there's no way they're going to go into it. And you look at, sometimes you look at these, you know, someone that looks like they could be in some sort of gang, and they're growing, you know, the most incredible peonies. There was a whole a Gogglebox scene around peony instead of peony, or someone that's into daffodils, and you think, you know, there's a tattered bloke in his 30s that's into that. So that kind of thing, it's that what gets people into it, and then how can we use that to get kids into it and bring families into it, and then, you know, yesterday, oh, you'll love this, Bob, you'll love this. I'm still tingling about it. Being able to go up to the elders' village and meet Louis.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Louis and his tomatoes, and to interview him. I did a little Facebook live with him.
Yeah.
And he just lit up like a Christmas tree. And I asked him all these questions, and he was talking so passionately. And you go, you know, there he is, 80 years of tomato growing experience.
Yeah.
And there's all these people coming on live, and that's the bit that's exciting about this.
Yeah, a nice bit of the technology is you can actually share it far and wide. Yeah.
And there's people coming on, you know, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people coming on and listening to a champion like that tell his story. And, you know, and then Joseph was there, and Joseph started singing in front of everyone, and all the volunteers that go up there and look after the gardens.
Yep.
That's the ticker. That's that spirit that I love to.
It's the heart and soul of stuff in it, and it's pretty evident here in Apollo Bay, in as much as it's a great story I like to tell, and that's Andrew Denton interviewed K.D. Lang, the singer, and he said, he looked her in the eye and said, what was it like growing up a lesbian in a town of 350 people? And she, without skipping a beat, she looked at him and said, our teacher drove a tractor to school. In small places, everyone's different.
Yeah, you know? That's right.
And we all know, we all immediately, that's a given, you know. So we're not looking at whether you wear a cowboy hat.
No.
Or, you know, we're looking at what we do together, you know, and from that comes relationship and, you know, and all that stuff. It's a pretty exciting thing, and it's exciting to see the garden reaching and finding people that way, you know.
Yeah, like, you know, I was privileged yesterday because I come into town and I go straight to school. I get greeted by these two fantastic young year three girls.
Yeah.
And then they take me out the back where Dav and the class are there looking at their aquaculture. Then they walk me through, and it's raining, right? It's raining. They're in their gumboots. And were they thinking about the wet? Were they thinking about the mud? Were they going, ooh, yuck, no. They were just, come here. And then we go into the chicken coop, and they're slipping and sliding around. They're grabbing chickens, and we're talking to the chickens. And then we go into the glasshouse, and they show me the things they're growing. And then I move in, and the year sixes have prepared the most amazing meal using everything that they've harvested. And I ask them, what here on this table could you go home and not be able to produce? And they said, everything.
Nothing. Yeah.
And when you get that, and then to go to the retirement village and to the elders, I like to call it, you know, an elders place, because then we're not judging them on age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because we tend to put this connection that, well, age with increasing age, there's decreasing relevance. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we need to just swing it the other way.
Right. Yeah.
So you're acknowledging the wisdom that comes from being an elder, aren't you?
And it's not just actually, you know, that physically doing anything. It's physically being in the presence, because there's a calm around being with the elders. And there were a lot of elders actually as the volunteers as well.
Mm. Yeah.
Like when I went into this room, Bob, you would have loved it. Like I went in and there was two, three tables of people, and it was such a relaxed, homely atmosphere. Mm. It was like I walked into someone's house.
Mm.
And I didn't know who was who.
Hmm.
I mean, a couple of people were older than others, but it was just this one melange. It was just this beautiful mix of seniors. And the thing I had the privilege of was being at both ends of the spectrum. And what I believe is the ultimate in community is when, instead of we have this continuum where the kids are at one end and the elders at the other, everything I do and everything I want to do is just to bend that around so that it's a circular. I mean, there's...
So it's a continuum.
People talk about a circular economy, which is important in terms of waste.
Mm.
But I talk about a circular community.
Mm.
And so you put the elders up at the school, you put the kids down at the garden.
Yeah.
And then all of those years of investment, there's no end on their return.
Right. Mm.
It's almost like a never-ending dividend that you can't break. And that's probably, you know, I can feel the health of a community by how much interaction there is between the preschool, the school, and you know, you've got Otway's Health, which is the local, and seriously. Walking around in that facility, to me, it was a home. And to all the staff and to the volunteers, you know, I just had my time there. But the moment I walk in the door, I didn't smell institution.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't smell bleach. I didn't smell anything other than, wow, this is a house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they've got their own cook there. Mm. Yeah. So... And the soup that came out, let's say I was there at dinner time. By the time I finished bantering, I was still there at dinner time, and out came this beautiful soup.
Mm.
The different people, you know, someone had a beer there, someone else had a wine, someone else had water, someone else had this. So it was just like they were at home.
Yeah.
And what a...
Yeah. And the other... Yeah, that's right. And a huge natural advantage that we have is that most of... All the people, whether they're staff or volunteers, they know who these old people are, and they know that they used to have the farm up on the road, or they know they used to be the pharmacist, and so there's a whole other level. That observation is leading up to the question of, because you must go into places where those connections are not apparent, where things are not as well connected. Where do you begin when you find yourself in an environment where people are kind of separated like that? Is that, again, the germ of the seed right back into the garden?
Exactly. And, so, you know, I look at what the community, what Liz and the community have set up for this edible garden trail. And as soon as I heard, like when they said, we're thinking of doing something, this was last year, they said, we're thinking of doing something next year. And I just had it in my diary. And then a couple of months out, some people were pushing around wanting me for this weekend. And I said, oh, I got something in there. I got to check. And they said, it's on. I was like, that's it. Don't worry. I'm coming.
Mm.
But, you know, what that does is it takes away that old front fence even more, because then you suddenly got this opportunity. You see the trail there today and you can go in, you meet the people. You see that they're doing this. They might share some seeds. They might. You just then know that you see them again in the street, and they go, oh, it's not that person that lives in in What's-Her-Name Street, it's actually, oh, that's Jack. Mm. And I didn't know that he was an ecologist, and I didn't know that he was doing all this stuff. Or you know, that's where Liz lives, and I'd only ever seen her driving around in a little red car. Mm. But now I know that's who she is, and you say hello. So this isn't just about the gardens.
No.
You know, this is like a real glue that's just dribbling out. And the gardening is this clandestine operative. Mm. It's almost a cell that just like an amoeba, it just multiplies. And when you can get people in on gardening, it's not intimidating.
If you're
a bit awkward about being social, when you've got all this stuff to talk about, suddenly the social barriers are broken down and you now talk to this person.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You can't pay a council officer to be, you know, the community builder. Like, these are the things that build community. So when I saw it and you know, the talks, like the information that's in there, what I like about it could just be an open gardens, and the open gardens scheme that collapsed just because, you know, like anything, like the Roman Empire, when something sort of is big, it's just harder to manage. Whereas now that it's going back to these local open garden events, which I've been doing around the country in different places, yeah, this has relevance.
Mm.
You know, Bob, if you want to learn something about growing,
I'm going down for the weeds walk in a minute. Yeah,
How can it get any better than doing it here?
And we've got, you know, by and large, I mean, we've certainly got some experts who've come to town for the weekend, but by and large, the workshop presenters are locals, you know, and that's absolute gold.
Mm.
It really is.
Because it's these conditions. Like, you can't, there's no book. So there's an opening to turn this into, like, bit by bit over the years. And I can't see why this couldn't happen when it feels right. It doesn't have to be every year, but this has got the capacity to be every year, because all it doesn't require huge investment. It's like, there's your little sign, and we can do it. We can pull it together, have one event on Friday night, and get together, and then on Saturday, you know, you can ebb and flow with how many workshops you have. You can just have an open one, but either way, you're just creating conversation and information sharing, like Louis. He showed us how he grows his tomato seeds and how he's been doing it for 80 years.
Yeah.
And then he had some of his seedlings. Like, these are the ones that he's genetically
That's right.
selected. He's selected them over years to be the ones that are perfect for his source.
And for here, you know.
And
here.
They are.
There are strawberry grapes here in Apollo Bay that came from Croatia originally. And various iterations of them have not done so well, until finally the guy that grew them found the ones. And they're strawberry, you know, that strawberry grape. We had some at a couple of dinners, and they're amazing. They're really very different. And in there must be 30 backyards with these amazing Croatian strawberry grapes.
which you wouldn't be able to.
No,
you would not be able to get those into the country now.
No, absolutely not.
You know, it just wouldn't happen.
That's right.
You know, when I come in, if I've been out of the country,
careful now.
Yeah, yeah. the customs guys and girls, they say, "G'day, Costa. What are we going to find if we open your bag?" I say, "Look," I said, "absolutely nothing." I said, "because it's all a bit too public." But in all seriousness, I'm actually involved with the children's show that I'm involved with called Get Grubby TV.
Yeah.
That took one of the best animations, best children's animations, Dirt Girl World.
Mm.
And when I went over to the ABC, I said, "I want to connect family and children to gardening and the show."
Mm.
And Dirt Girl was already doing this. So what we did was we took them out of animation and then we did a pilot where I was their garden gnome that came to life.
Yep.
And so we've now got the live characters, and we can go out and do stuff. And one of the biggest things we're doing, and it sounds funny, but one of the biggest things we're doing is a series of documentaries, short 15-minute documentaries, seven of them, for the Department of Ag on biosecurity.
Yep.
And because we're these characters, I'm dressed as a garden gnome, Dirt Girl has her look, Scrap Boy, it's disturbing. It disturbs the, it's not the government video with a stick saying, stop this, don't bring that in, don't do this. And we're telling the story through the work of 69 Indigenous ranger groups. So, you know, here's this opportunity to put make biosecurity relevant. It is relevant, but make it relevant right down to the individual. And the best place to do that is back at the school.
Yeah,
and then they become the little rangers. And then we did the same with waste. I spoke at the National Waste Conference in Coffs, but we've also got a program which gets the kids involved. And when they become the bin monitors and the separation monitors, you can imagine, they're ruthless. And they'll confront anyone. They'll confront the Prime Minister, the Minister, the Mayor, their parents, their aunts, uncles, the neighbours. They'll open the bin and go, that's not supposed to be in there. You
know? That's fantastic.
So it is. It's really these ways of taking these issues, these community-based issues, and making them relevant for the kids, and then they run with it.
So are you here all weekend?
I'm here. Alas, I was just today and yesterday and today. I couldn't make it Sunday because I had this pre-existing thing up in Sydney. So. I'm so excited about today and just the chance to not only tap in on some of the talks but view some of the gardens and really get into this current, because I think from a community point of view, this is a lot bigger than it may seem. Like just it's not some happy clappy garden trail. The message and the underlying thread that it can tie and that the spotlight that it can shine on people that are doing damn good stuff is priceless. And the effort, like in terms of the community cost, is very small. And the real cost is in the volunteer hours. But then that to me is the pulse of a community.
The dinner last night, there's a young... As a young, as tomorrow's Harry Miller or Michael Edgley was there, and he'll know who he is, won't you, Bill?
He will.
And I said to Bill, straight up commercially, you want to put this little event on? How much is a ticket? You know, and like he stopped at about $100 and thinking, oh. I said, you just couldn't do it without the volunteers. The other half of that is, none of those volunteers think of it in any way about how much an hour is this worth.
Absolutely
it's
not.
It's got nothing to do with that. This is a passion I'm sharing. This is something we've got together.
That's right.
And it's very exciting, having been in Apollo Bay for, I don't know how long, 15 years or something, to see these seeds, these little shoots emerging all over the town in lots of ways. And it's a wonderful, it's generational change, a lot of it.
Yes.
And it's just fantastic.
You know, the other really interesting thing that I was able to witness yesterday was the fact that the community were making a position. They were drawing a line in the sand in terms of land use and land care and ocean care and everything to do with the future. And the thing that struck me the most, you know, to the point that when I was standing there down at the wharf and I saw that, you know, there was people very active in the water. There was elders there. There was a true representation of the community. But the bit that struck me the most was that three busloads of children stood there. And for the principal and for the families and the parents and the teachers and for everyone to come down. And the thing that resonates most is that they represented. And ultimately, that's what we're talking about. This is not about red, green, blue. This is about community. And when I saw all those children down there standing up because they were given the chance to, that sends a shockwave of connectivity through
Oh, a lot of stuff.
Through everything, you know. And you just don't always, you don't see that. And you can't then wipe it off as that's just a marginal group that are into that sort of action. No, this was something very different. And you know, I have to hold my position in terms of what I can and can't do in terms of a media, public media role, which is fine. Yep. You know, I can keep my my arm's length from that. Yep. But what I can talk about is what I see. And when I see a community very truly inclusive, and that the children, I was asking the children, you know, what they thought, and their perspective on it was deep reaching into the past and into the history of their grandparents and other family members and other people that they knew looking after and caring for their country. And when you start to tie that in with what the Edible Garden Trail is, which is about caring for country and understanding country. And when I saw at the lunch, for example, before we ate, they three of the children had to stand up and say, what are they appreciative of? And, you know, to hear some of the things that they spoke about, you know, it was like, yeah, you have to stand up and you have to say something. And so there's another whole level of connectivity and representation and the ability to speak in front of your peers and not feel like you're too shy, and not for it to be, oh, well, I'm never really any good at that. No, you got to get up and you got to say what you feel and put that on the line. And so there was a lot of people down there saying what they feel. And you know, I saw that. And I felt it.
Wonderful. All right. Well, it's very pleasant to have you here. We haven't discovered any secrets under the beard, really.
Oh, there's a couple of partridges.
I'll bet there are a couple under there.
Powerful owl.
Would you like to chat, Liz, about what's happening on the ground? Or Costa's going to run through
Costa
that?
Costa can run through the workshops.
The little program.
Yeah. This is
just so that people know, if anyone hasn't spotted all of the signs and the information that's been happening around town for the last month or so about what's on today and tomorrow. Costa's got a list of the workshops there.
Yeah, so at 10 o'clock today, so this is all down at the community garden, Annie Razor Roland is doing a edible weeds walk. That's priceless.
Yeah,
because you're going to look at plants in a whole new way. And she's a wonderful. You want me to talk about mongrel? There you go. She's awesome. She's awesome. What do I?
Well, we can still talk about the fact that Kirsten.
Kirsten Bradley from Milkwood. She's here talking about seaweeds in the kitchen and garden, and one thing you don't lack down here is
seaweed.
So the seaweed thing is full?
It is.
Is the edible weeds thing full?
No.
Okay, good. Yep. All right.
So anything that's full, I'll mention.
Mention.
But it's good to know that these
are on, and we would certainly love to do this sort of
stuff. And the thing is,
again,
if you've missed it for some reason, grab someone who went.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because this information exchange is really simple. You probably won't even need a notebook.
No, that's right.
That's right.
And they'll give you links and, you know, I mean, Annie's got a book.
And Kirsten's got a book.
So, you know, you'll be able to get this info. So that's 11 to 1. 1 till 2, there's Growing Great Spuds with Dick Dawes. Again, awesome local. You know, he's just gonna. I got to meet him. I want to try and slide in and co-present with him because I just want to.
You won't get a word in.
Yeah. I can imagine. That's what I've been told. So that's still 2. Then there's a half hour, and then 2:30 to 4 backyard composting with Dav and Dav Rees and Stephanie Falconer. I don't care. I could be involved in this work for the next 100 years and I will still find awesome composting innovation.
Yes.
So I'm going to be there lathered up in the compost
bin. If you put your chicken poo just a little bit thinner, just a little bit. Well,
that's it. That's it, Bob.
Fantastic.
3 to 4, there's a tour of the Green Acre and there's a growing native edible species with Richard Kalopi. But alas, those two have reached their limit.
Yep.
And then Sunday, 10 o'clock, back down in the community garden, Herbs in the Kitchen Garden with Judy Forrester.
Yeah.
Can't get enough of Herbs if you want flavour in your food.
And Judy is just such an awesome local authority on what grows around here and how to grow it. She's fabulous.
Absolutely.
I've got to clone myself. I need to be in about seven places at once. 11 till 2, the Kitchen Garden Experience with Natty Murray and Dave Nelson. That one includes lunch and kids and adults.
Yep.
So bring the kids along too. 11 till 12:30, Salad Greens Year Round with Jody Lawson. I mean, that's worth going. That's just financially, that's worth it because that's going to save you hundreds of dollars a year.
Absolutely.
Then Radical Seed Saving with Kate Holmes at 1 till 2:30. Mm-hmm. Everyone can save seeds, and then gardening becomes free. And then 2 till 3, there's a tour of Otway Herbs. There's one more. So 2 till 3, Otway Herbs, and then 3 till 5, Abundant Backyard Gardening with Ben Shaw.
Yep, I'm booked in for that.
Yep.
Well, I tell you, as an outsider, that is one of the most exciting weekends of accessibility and pure community connection that I've seen in all my travels. So it's a really exciting, and congratulations to everyone.
Thanks. That's great, looks awesome. Costa.
Thank you very much for coming in.
It's a pleasure, Bob.
Delightful to have you. And not that we really did, but there we go. We're here. and it does, I mean, you know, you could just flip the clock off and talk for a week, really, and swap stories. I have to say, just because you'll love it, we were in Morocco a little while ago and we got dropped into the end of the Dadas Valley and introduced to a fella who lived there and his parents before him. And he walked us for 2 kilometres through this valley in between two rocky mountains and showed us how they grew and what they grew and how they irrigated. He said, there's a channel. He said, this is the irrigation. I said, how's that going? He said, well, I moved this rock on Monday and it waters my field. And the neighbour comes and moves the rock on Tuesday and that waters his field. And there's seven of us. So one day a week we go down and move the rock. It's just
That's
amazing.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And he said, how much land have you got? He said, well, my father had 3 acres and that fed the family. That was good. He said, but he also had 4 boys. So now we struggle a little bit, and I have to have tourists like you. But they eat everything from the valley.
Yeah.
You know, it's just amazing.
Yep. Yeah.
And they have done forever, you know, like.
And that was an interesting point that came up in the discussions last night
about this
perception that big ag is going to feed
the world.
And it's not. And I was talking to someone the other day, last night, and they were like, oh, I've got 3 acres and I think about, you know, why do I need to go and get a community garden plot? And I said, the idea is that it's growing together.
Mm.
And I said, you could have a plot and still grow on your 3 acres.
Sure.
Grow some perennial stuff down there so that you can bring the kids in and make it an activity.
Bring some of the folk you meet at the community garden up
to
your
farm.
Place.
So there's so many ways we can look at it, and it's not just the food.
Yeah.
We're starting again.
We're
off again. Thank you very much once again for coming in, and we'll see you around later in the day. Pleasure to meet you.
Thanks, Bob.
This is 3ABR Community Radio. Thank you, Liz.
Pleasure, Bob.
And this is a thing called Saturday at the Bay, and look, we do a bit of this and we do a bit of that, and for the moment we'll just play a little music before the next thing happens.